Hello, and thank you for joining me today for the Halfway to Infinity podcast, a collection of original short stories written and recorded by me, Michael Rees. In our story today, we learn that when making a life-changing decision, it's always a good idea to read the fine print first. This is New You. The Dingle family minivan turned into the car park and pulled into the disabled space near the entrance. The doors opened, and four generations of the family spilled out, with old Frank Dingle, the grandfather, climbing out last, helped by his daughter-in-law, Helen. She straightened his coat, then handed him his walking stick. He made his way carefully up the low ramp to the glass doors of the clinic. His family followed slowly behind. Frank stopped and looked up at the sign above the entrance. "New You," it said in glowing pink and blue. He took a deep breath and walked through the door. Waiting for them inside was a nurse with a wheelchair. She helped Frank sit, then took everyone across the pink and blue lobby to the soft pink and blue sofas that sat on the pink and blue carpet. "Dr. Usher will be with you soon," she said, as everyone made themselves comfortable. She took Frank's walking stick and hooked it over the back of the chair before wheeling him into a space between the sofas. Dr. Usher was a tall, gaunt man with a smile honed by decades of insincerity. After a brief introduction, he seated himself next to Frank. "Well," he said, looking from face to face, "tonight's the long-awaited night. I believe Mr. Dingle here has been saving up for this for quite a while." "Yeah," said Helen. 35 years he's been saving." The doctor turned to Frank. 35 years, Mr. Dingle," he said in a loud, condescending voice. 35 years you've been saving for this moment, haven't you?"
"I can hear perfectly well," replied Frank.
"He wanted the elite package," said Helen. "He wouldn't let any of us chip in to help, did it all himself."
The doctor tutted.
"Yes, well, but you know, at his age, he could have kicked a bucket at any moment. Took a bit of a risk there, didn't you, Mr. Dingle?" He slapped Frank on the knee. "But you just squeezed in. Well done."
"Oh, for Christ's sake," mumbled Frank.
The doctor turned back to the family.
"Got to be careful of the big D's, you know."
"Big D's?"
"Yes, death and dementia. Not much we can do once either of those are on your resume."
He lowered his voice.
"How is his brain, then?" he asked.
"My brain is fine," said Frank.
"Let the good doctor decide that, Dad."
"Well, I think his brain is working okay. Wish I could say the same for the rest of him, though."
The doctor laughed.
"Leaking from every orifice, yes?"
Frank just rolled his eyes.
"So, does anyone have any questions?"
"Will he still smell bad?"
asked one of the granddaughters.
"Don't you worry, my dear. It'll just be the dynamic odour of raw testosterone. So, shall we do it, then? No point in waiting any longer, or, well, he might peg it right here on the carpet with all the excitement."
They all laughed, except Frank. He started to speak, but the nurse wheeled him away across the lobby as his family chatted to the doctor behind him. She pushed him through a set of large pink and blue doors and out of sight. 90 minutes later, as the family sat quietly staring at their phones, a fanfare played from little speakers in the ceiling. Somebody tapped a microphone.
"Will the Dingle family please gather around the reveal curtain?" said a voice.
They all stood, looking around. Helen's quiet husband, Nigel, nudged her and pointed to a pink and blue curtain that hung above a small stage in the corner of the large lobby. On the stage was the nurse, holding a microphone.
"Yoo-hoo, over here,"
she called, waving at the Dingles. Leaving the sofas, they walked across the colourful carpet to the stage.
"Ladies and gentlemen," said the nurse into the microphone, "New You is proud to present..."
The fanfare started up again.
"The new, much improved, Frank Dingle."
"Oh, I'm so excited," said Helen. Everybody clapped as the curtain opened. They fell silent at the sight that greeted them. Standing on the little stage in a pink and blue dressing gown was Frank, but not as anyone knew him.
"Oh, my God," said Helen, breaking the silence. "Is that really you, Frank?"
He was taller than anyone remembered and had a full head of hair, blonde and wavy, as though swept by an ocean breeze. He had shining eyes and utterly perfect teeth. He looked no more than 20. He stepped off the stage and walked confidently up to Helen. "Well, what do you think?" he asked, with a sonorous voice that she had long forgotten. "Worth all the time and sacrifice, yeah?"
"Oh, God, yes," she said.
Frank opened the dressing gown and let it slide to the floor. His muscular body was oiled and tanned. He wore only tight-fitting trunks with the new U logo sewn discreetly into the fabric. Helen looked from the hair to the biceps to the abs, then down to the trunks.
"Bloody hell," she said, catching her breath.
"I know you wanted the elite package, but I didn't think that's what you meant."
The family gathered around Frank, touching his hair and rubbing his body in complete disbelief.
"Come on, everyone," said the nurse. "Let's have a photograph."
Frank woke and opened his eyes. He had a headache and his mouth was dry.
"We're all done, Mr. Dingle,"
said the nurse as she pulled the electrodes off his bald head.
"You can go home now."
Frank looked at his hands, at the familiar, dry, aged skin, the dark blotches and dirty nails. His fingers ached when he closed them. He didn't feel young at all.
"I'm supposed to be young again," he said.
The nurse laughed.
"You are young again. Your family was most impressed. That was such a nice thing you did for them, working so hard all these years to save up."
She handed him a blue and pink folder with the new U logo on the front.
"This is your complimentary souvenir picture. Go on, have a look."
He opened the folder and stared at the photo of his family. They were happy and smiling, crowded around a strangely familiar young man wearing tight trunks.
But that's not me."
"Oh, yes it is. Every square inch, 100% your DNA. And, of course, we uploaded the full contents of your brain."
"But wait, I'm still old. Who's he?"
"Like I said, Mr. Dingle, that's you. That's your new you. It's what you've been saving for all these years."
"No, I was going to be young. Me, not him."
"Oh, Mr. Dingle, don't be silly. This is science, not magic."
She stepped behind the wheelchair and pushed him along past bleeping machines and out through the double doors into the lobby. It was empty.
"Time to go, Mr. Dingle. We're closing for the day."
She wheeled him across the carpet to the glass doors of the entrance, which hissed open onto the cool of the evening. Frank sat confused, staring out at the dark, deserted car park. There was a slight drizzle, streaks of rain lit by the pale lamps of the streetlights.
"I need to take the chair back inside," said the nurse after a moment.
Frank slowly pulled himself out of the chair and looked around for his family.
"Good night, Mr. Dingle,"
said the nurse as the doors closed with another hiss. He turned. She gave him a little wave through the glass before pulling down a blind. A moment later, the blue and pink lights of the lobby switched off, and the large new U sign above his head went dark with a little electric ping. He tapped on the glass.
"My walking stick, please. I need my stick."
But there was no answer. He stood a moment, looking at his dim reflection in the glass. He turned. The car park was empty. The minivan and his family were nowhere to be seen. Rain started to seep into his old clothes. Over by some trees at the edge of the car park, he noticed a small figure walking slowly towards him under an old plastic umbrella. It was a woman, small and slightly hunched in a dirty, tattered coat. She seemed not much younger than Frank. As she neared, she took another umbrella from the belt of her oversized trousers and held it out to him.
"Why don't you use this to walk with, and we'll share my umbrella?"
she said kindly. Frank looked at the umbrella, then back at the woman.
Oh, I'm sorry, but who are you?
My name is Maisie. The others are waiting down under the railway bridge. That's where we live.
The others?
Yes, said Maisie with a gentle smile. The rest of your new family.
Halfway to infinity.